This is Vatican Radio and I'm Lydia O'Kane. March 19th marks the feast day of St. Joseph, husband of the Virgin Mary and foster father to Jesus. He was proclaimed the patron of the Universal Church in 1870 by Pope Pius IX and is also patron of workers and fathers. As you remember St. Joseph on this day, the head of Vatican Radio's English India programme, Jesuit Father Melvin Joseph Pinto, spoke to me about this great saint. Do you think St. Joseph is an underestimated figure in the Church?
To a large extent, yes, because all these centuries, the importance was given to the martyrs. Even the early Church, they gave importance to the martyrs who gave witness to the faith by dying for the faith. And in that sense, Joseph was restricted to the Gospels, and he was a lesser known figure. It's down the centuries, I suppose, it's the spirit which has guided the Church. To the point to Pope Francis, who has included his name in the Eucharistic prayers. Now that has been quite a development, and now he has got his due importance, I should say. So it has taken quite some time. It has developed over the years. To a large extent, he has been an underestimated figure also because, you see, Mary was the mother of Jesus. Being a mother, I suppose, she was intimately in touch with Jesus. Whereas St. Joseph is known as the foster father. He's not the real father, which makes him, overshadowed by Mary. And that's how that you see also in the Gospels. He also wasn't there when Jesus was on his public ministry, and especially at the cross. Mary was there at the cross, and Joseph was nowhere around because in all probability he would have died before Jesus began his public ministry. And therefore, the Gospels do not have much to say but for the infancy narratives. And when the Gospels themselves give less importance, and perhaps because of his early death, probably he has been a lesser known figure when compared to Mary. But then definitely, today we see how he has been a great man of God, or a man who cooperated with God in bringing his son to this world, and a very important role that he played in the salvation history. And therefore, now we are happy that he's having a very important role to play.
Did it help having Pope Benedict, because he's Joseph Ratzinger? Do you think that helped the cause somewhat?
Well, I suppose he had a great devotion to Saint Joseph. His name being Joseph Ratzinger, you see it in many things that he has said, many times when he has referred to Saint Joseph. There was always a demand for his name to be included in the Eucharistic prayers, the second, third, and fourth Eucharistic prayers. But then his name was always there in the first Eucharistic prayer, as we know, and it was added by Pope John the 23rd. There was always a demand from various circles asking him to also include it. Probably he had many other important things to attend to, and he did not include it then and left it for Pope Francis to do the work. But it has again been in development.
Do you think that's quite significant that his name has been included in other Eucharistic prayers now?
Yeah, it's very significant because we look at the Eucharist as something of a source and summit of the Christian identity. Or as the Catholic Church or the Catechism would say, it is the source and summit of the life of the Church. And therefore, definitely when a priest uses these words in the liturgy, it has got a special significance. We invoke Saint Joseph because he's so much a part of the salvation history. And that's why it's very important that we include Saint Joseph. And soon after using the name of Mary, we invoke Saint Joseph. And that's why it has become very important. And I'm glad it's included. I'm glad it's not just because my name is Joseph, but then I suppose that's something very, very touching, deeply touching.
It's the feast day of St. Joseph, but it's also the first anniversary of the inauguration of Pope Francis. Does that have a certain significance? Do you think that it was on this day he was inaugurated?
Well, I should say it is a happy coincidence. Pope Benedict definitely didn't think of this particular feast when he resigned. He never knew that the conclave would take place in so many days from now, and then Pope Francis would be Pope, all these things, obvious. And yet, when Pope Francis discovered that very soon it's going to be the Feast of St. Joseph, he would have happily said, well, I would like to have this day. I would like to use this day for inauguration of the papacy. And I suppose he would have been delighted to do that because he must have had great devotion for, he definitely has great devotion for St. Joseph. And that therefore he was only too delighted, I should say. Since St. Joseph is also the patron of the universal church, that gives it added significance. We're happy because that was the day. And then there are a lot of qualities of Pope Francis which coincide with, or rather see, St. Joseph's qualities that you see also in Pope Francis. And that's something that makes us very happy that that day was in its vicinity there and it could be used as a day for papal inauguration of the papacy.
What can we learn from the figure of St. Joseph?
Well, there are a number of qualities of St. Joseph which I personally appreciate. First of all, you know, I like that song which says, I'm not flesh of his flesh and not bone of his bone, and yet I'm called to be a father to the Son of God. I'm just a humble carpenter. How can I raise a king? You know, that song speaks so beautifully about the qualities of St. Joseph, because he was a humble man, basically. It was his humility that helped him to accept things as they were happening. It is not like God, you know, forcing a mule to do everything that he wanted. It was much, much more than that. It was Joseph's openness, his humility that helped him to be what he was. He was a very just man. Just, I call, because he followed the spirit of the law, not necessarily the letter of the law. When he came to know that Mary was with child, and he was betrothed to her, I suppose he went through a lot of anxiety, but he did not publicly denounce her. He chose not to do so. He could have very well done that, but he probably knew that Mary was a good person, a virtuous person. He wanted to divorce her quietly, the gospel says. Now that is something beautiful. He was a man. He had a point to make, but he did not judge her. He did not go to see why did it happen in her and therefore denounce her, have a court trial, nothing of that sort. He just quietly wanted to leave her. And it is only when the angel talks to him that he changes, he accepts Mary as his wife. I suppose that requires a lot of courage. He was a man of courage. A virtue that Pope Francis very clearly mentioned in his homily during the inauguration of the papacy. He was a man of courage, he called him. I think that's what St. Joseph was. He couldn't understand many things, reasonably so. It's not that God gave him directions at every point. There were moments when he couldn't understand why he had to do what he had to do. And yet, at every moment he said, yes, I'm going ahead. That was the depth of faith that he had. And he was an ordinary carpenter who was not learned. And yet the depth of his courage and his humility, it's remarkable, marvelous. We just cannot imagine that openness to God. That has made him a virtuous person, a humble person, a courageous person, and a just man. These are probably the three important virtues that I like in St. Joseph, and something that we are all called to be.
Just one final question. How important a figure is he in India?
In India, he's a very important figure because he is the since he's accepted as the patron of the Catholic Church. Many people invoke him as the person to be invoked at the point of death. There are a number of hymns which extol the virtues of St. Joseph, and people pray to him specially at the point of death. They also invoke him as part of the Holy Family. People have his photographs along with the Holy Family. Holy Family is a very important figure in among the Catholics, I should say, in India. And therefore, he has a very important place. He's invoked very often. There are novenas to St. Joseph. There are a lot of devotions to St. Joseph's. Many of the institutions in India are named after him. Many, I should say, in all dioceses. And so there's a great devotion for him and great following for St. Joseph in India.